118. Taking on the tops of the pursuit of defense, proper presentation, continuing those thoughts. When upon life's billows you are tempted strong, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings in this one of my one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings in this one of my one, count your many blessings he will surprise done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy on your heart to bear? Count your many blessings in every butterfly, and you will be singing as the pleasant hills go by. Count your blessings in this one by one, count your blessings, he will see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with his reverence and gold, think that Christ has promised his experience well untold. Count your many blessings that he cannot buy, your reward in heaven will endure on high. Count your blessings in this one by one, count your many blessings, he will see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, failure or small, do not be discouraged, as God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you through your journey's end. Count your many blessings in this one by one, count your many blessings, he will see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Song after invitation will be number 807.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time that we have to be together. We're thankful for the brethren here that have come together to study your word. And as we've just been reminded in this song that and in the classes that we have been studying, that we are so grateful to you for so much that you have done for us, that you have chosen us to be reconciled to you so that we can have a hope of a home in heaven. And the gift of your Son who sacrificed himself for us, we're so grateful for your love and his love for us so that we can have that hope. Please help us to live lives of gratitude that can be shown in our attitude toward you and toward your word and in our interactions with others. We're thankful for this group of people here and their desire to be lights in this community. And we pray that we'll have love for one another and be an encouragement to one another as we work together and learn more about your will. Mindful of those that are not able to be with us tonight, we pray that those that are traveling will be safe and return back and be with us again soon. Please help us as we live our lives every day to be good examples to those around us and for us to be diligent in our desire to walk after the pattern that we find in your word. Please help us that when we find that we are not doing what we should, that we will quickly repent and be restored to you and to live lives that will be pleasing to you. Please be with us and watch over us and guide us as we serve you. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
What I'm going to speak to you tonight will not sound very new since we've been talking about it already. And let's see, let me get wired up here just a moment. But I plan on having the video that's being made shared with other people. Even some of it has already been done, my prototype of it, with Brother Joe Arori in Kenya, so that he'll have that this lesson tonight there and any other place. Tonight I am talking about overcoming ingratitude and discouragement. We felt it was a very good subject, even though we've been looking at it both Sunday and tonight, because in these studies we still want to have a clean heart. Most of us, as you and I have been pondering each week as we go over the new subject in this book about having a clean heart, that we are considering ways to better our lives, to avoid unclean heart type of choices. We're continuing to learn that we're not alone as we encounter difficulties in our lives. As we read too much in the newspapers and see that it looks like the world's tearing down around us, it's that the Bible and God are still in control. Paul, in several of his letters, as we've already mentioned, instructs us that we must make deliberate choices to shift our thoughts away from dwelling on the disappointments and discouragements and losses that happen to our lives. Many times these troubles can take over our whole body. It can be a silent time at home. We can be meditating by ourselves and just feel totally depressed and not know about it. So as Randy mentioned, 8 different ways, but this discouragement is a powerful weapon that Satan uses to pry us away from our commitment to serve God and our fellow man. When we have discouragement, disappointment, and loss of focus, our thoughts are squarely on ourselves. Focusing on ourselves can lead to our being selfish, another one of our subjects, and self-centered and full of self-pity. Satan's goal in our trials is for us to be so involved in our own difficulties and sorrow that we are absolutely no use as servants of God and servants of a fellow man. So let us at this time study just a little more that there are powerful things that the Bible tells us we can do to combat this part of Satan's plan. So tonight, I'm just going to use 4 of the things that Randy mentioned, 8 of them. These kind of blend in with the way he arranged them just now. But I would like for us to talk about the first powerful thing. We can pray. Then I'll go into the second powerful thing we can do is remember as has been mentioned, we're not the only ones having trials and failures. Third thing we can consider is we can search out the good things in ways that we can serve others. There's a great lifting, as I'll mention in a few minutes, when we find out we're actually serving others compared with being self-centered. The fourth powerful thing we can do instead of focusing on our pains and trials is to consciously choose to focus on this great blessing of salvation that we've been talking about. So I want to expand on these four things now. The first one, the powerful thing we can do, is pray. We can pray for the wisdom, the strength to endure through our trials and remain faithful to God. We can pray for God's help in overcoming our focus on our own sorrows and ask for help from the Lord to be grateful for our many blessings, like the song, Count Our Many Blessings. We can choose to make gratitude our constant frame of mind. Paul the Apostle was in prison, as we've been studying. He was in prison, and yet he was telling us we can do to pray for this wisdom and our strength to overcome. If we want to turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter that was mentioned, Philippians, the fourth chapter, I'll be reading from verses 4 through 9. And that's what Rex referred to this in the lesson. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, in this part here, surpasses all understanding. Men try to figure out things today. Psychologists talk to you and so forth. But it surpasses all, even of man's understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate. Another translation says think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Now to the second thing. We can remember, and I think Michael last Wednesday spoke on the impact that knowing wrong things, the impact that that has. So what we can remember is that we're not the only ones having trials. Understanding that others have successfully overcome disappointment and discouragement and losses gives us courage to overcome our own struggles. So in the New Testament, there are many passages that we read of the suffering of Jesus and the trials suffered by the apostles and the newly converted Christians. The Apostle Paul describes a number of the physical trials he has endured for the gospel's sake. If you want to be turning to 2 Corinthians 11th and 12th chapters, we'll be covering that. 2 Corinthians 11th and 12th chapter. So he describes a number of physical trials that he has endured for the gospel's sake. It'll be in verses 23 through 29 of 11. Imagine if these things were your trials that you had to endure in your life. Reading now, starting with verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. He was talking about the Jews there. Are they ministers of Christ? In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Remember in the Old Testament, they couldn't beat a person more than 40 times. So just make sure they didn't overcome that. They dropped it down to 39. And it wasn't a belt whipping. It was probably some like cat of nine tails with glass and things fastened to them. So he received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten, verse 25. I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city and in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea and perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. In sleeplessness often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. Also in chapter 12, we read of the heroes of faith. So when you have some time, reread chapters 11 and 12 to get a good picture of what believers have overcome. From the time of the creation all the way to the spreading of the gospel. If we read now in the 12 verses 32 through 40, if some of the trials of the believers in God in the Old Testament times. Look down in verse 32 of chapter 12. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth, and all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having promised something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now in the first part of chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, the crucifixion of Christ reminds us that we have not yet endured the torture that Jesus endured in purchasing our salvation, starting at verse 1 of 12. Therefore we also, since we were surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. In the Old Testament, we can read of the testing trials of Job. In the book of Job, we have the trials of Joseph. In Egypt, in the book of Genesis, there's trials of Daniel in Babylon in the book of Daniel, the trials of King David in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. We can read of King David's sorrow over his sin and his gratitude for God's forgiveness in the book of Psalms. In our modern times, in our own times, we can think of people that have troubles. There's a young man that I've met. I call him young because he's younger than me. But he's probably, I think, in his mid-30s or early 40s. He's a black man. He's blind. He could not see that his foot was irritated enough that he got gangrene in his foot and had to have his toes amputated. But every time you meet him, he says, "I love you, brethren." He worships with the Ember Hills Church over there in Atlanta, where I was. Every time there's a meeting, he's broadcasting a video. He has a helper that helps him get his video set up. So I can give you his name and address sometime if you want it. But anytime there's a meeting, he's there. He's broadcasting it. He broadcasts the audio and video from Embry Hills, as well as the church itself having its own. That's one example of someone that really feels it's an encouragement to me. So we can know other people. One thing I found out is, and I think it was mentioned in the lesson, we can't judge someone else's pain. And I think it had to do with what Jarrell was saying, that just because we might have pain or something, and we can't feel that, okay, I'm worse off than they are. They'll never know what I'm having. Pain is individual. It's like we can say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Pain is in the body of the beholder. So we have to keep that in mind. The third item, keeping our focus on the blessings of the good in our lives, goes along with knowing of other people's troubles. We can foil Satan's plans by searching out the good things that we can do for others. Actively helping others will shift our focus off of our own selves and our own troubles. We can replace the feelings of discouragement with the joy of serving others, as God intends for us to do. Think back and remember what we said the last time I was up here in Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'm not going to be reading it now, but this is where Jesus was talking about when you took care of the naked, the sick, and in prison, then you were taking care of me. When we care for those in need, we care for Jesus, who loves all of us, including those in need. There's a few other practical examples we can do. And I don't want to toot my own horn, but the second paragraph. But the first one is, as a practical example, we can make phone calls of encouragement to others, to a struggling friend. Ladies can make meals and take them to people. I guess cooking guys can do that too. Or help them straighten their house, or write a card of thanks, or a card of encouragement to someone. For us guys, we can cut the grass for someone. I know of that being done. Someone who's elderly or sick, we can change the oil in their car or ask to repair something. We can do it in their home. We can help them setting up a computer or an internet service. I did that once. But another thing, like one reason about that and how it, I'm not really trying to toot my horn, but I was feeling really discouraged one day, and in particular, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my time and so forth. And then the assignment came up to go to someone's house and fix a ramp in the house, and another time to fix a door. Well, I guess like a clanging cymbal, I climbed in the car with all my tools and things, but as I headed the road towards what I was going to do, it was like a lighting of my burdens and such. I just felt, okay, I'm capable. I'm this old, but I'm still capable. I know what I'm doing. It was just an enlightenment to be able to help someone else. So those types of things can happen with you too. Now we're to the fourth thing, which is instead of focusing on our pains and trials, is to consciously focus on the great blessings, the hope we have to be able to go to eternity with Jesus if we're faithful to the end. Life is short. Our trials will not last forever if we're invited into heaven. If we keep our eyes on this prize of receiving that longed-for invitation from our great God, then we'll hear at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of our Lord." Turn to Romans 5 if you want. Paul instructs us to be grateful for the trials, which can make us stronger in our faith. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but also glory in tribulations, knowing the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." So summarize these four things, which is four of the eight that Randy mentioned. They can help us have a heart of gratefulness, as we've just been talking about. Pray for God's help. Meditate on God's word. Understand that we are not alone in our troubles. All men have trials and tests that to go through. Get busy doing what good you can do for others. Focus on our future in eternity with God and the blessed. So having this attitude of gratitude will help us to get through life's times of difficulty, pain, sorrow, self-centeredness. Whatever we're going through, we can be certain that God is right beside us, going through our tests and trials with us, comforting us, and strengthening us. If you would like the prayers of the congregation for strength, encouragement, and overcoming these trials, or you would like to be baptized into Christ, to be forgiven of your sins and be prepared for eternity, please let us know that as we stand and sing with Seth leading us in the song.
Happy today, yes, I'm happy today in Jesus Christ.
I'm happy today because He saved all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today in Jesus Christ. I'm singing today.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, at the close of our service, especially grateful that you are our King, our Father, and nothing can compare to you, and hopeful that our worship was pleasing to you. Thank you for all that you give us, our jobs and homes, our physical things that help us enjoy life here. Also, the spiritual blessings of your grace, mercy, and love for salvation through Jesus. Help us as we strive to be more like you. Please be with those who are in need of our prayers at this time due to illness. Help them get better as quickly as possible, if that is your will. We ask at this time that you please keep the Friesens safe as they are traveling, and help them make it back safely, if that is your will. Also, please be with Elijah as he will be traveling to Troy. Please help give him a safe trip there, and please help him to have a safe trip back home. Please continue to be with all of us and protect us. Be with us as we leave and keep us safe and healthy. We know it's by your will that we live or do anything. Thank you for your love and mercy for us. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.